Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C-Squared. Now, on our podcast, we interview musicians and other industry professionals to give you an inside look on how to take your music to the next level.
Hello, welcome to another edition of C-Squared Podcast. Your host, Curtis, with my co-host, Aaliyah, and we are here today with two guests, not just one. One is a sometimes co-host, so we have Ian from Stereo Gum, and then we also have Metal Trenches, who is here for probably the fourth, third, I don't remember.
Something like that.
Yeah, and Ian's been here like...
a seasoned veteran of the podcast, we should say.
Both seasoned veterans of the podcast. Anyways, they're here today to do a discussion with us that is going to be quite fun and interesting. And I'm going to turn it over to Aaliyah so that way she can verbalize exactly what we're going to be talking about and get the party started.
Yeah, like not to hold it under too strict of a confinement of conversation, but generally speaking, we're going to be talking about media. These two cover different platforms, so it'll be interesting to hear your guys' different perspectives. Just how bands get noticed and what bands should look out for and some goals they should have if they want to be noticed and paid attention to and featured in these areas. So yeah, that's the idea. Curtis, you want to start with the first question?
Sure, but just one sec before that, do you want to get them to kind of introduce themselves, like their little background is the first thing, just so that way we can show off their expertise or no?
Well, why don't you just ask
them? I can do that. That's fine. I'll start with Metal Trenches since he's here first. Do you want to just kind of go over your expertise in this area?
I don't have any expertise. I just...
Oh, pish posh. Come on now.
I just listen to music.
Metal Trenches has an excellent YouTube channel, lots of great commentary videos, and tier lists and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Have been building up the channel. Metal Trenches, you can find it on YouTube, as you said. Mainly focus on kind of recommendations. I've sort of moved away from doing standard reviews, and I just try to share as many bands as I can, sometimes through ranking a discography to kind of talk through a whole retrospective, other times just listing off as many weird and underground bands, and then sometimes recommending stuff by shit posting other stuff just for a little fun. So yeah.
Cool. How about you, Ian?
I am Ian Chaney. I am here to fight Metal Trenches to the death.
Ooh.
To find who is going to be the best podcast friend. maybe I'll get that Sweet Narrows LP on the background too.
There you go.
So I do a monthly column for Stereo Gum called The Black Market. I also do a monthly newsletter for Substack on a few podcasts. So I'm around. You can find me.
Cool. Okay, so to start off, so I'm going to start with Mr. Metal Trenches, I guess. So,
Mr. Trenches. Mr. Trenches is my dad's name.
Oh, sorry. I'll call you Metal then. So in your viewpoint, so what do you think is the biggest pitfalls for starting a band nowadays from your viewpoint as a media guy? YouTube.
I think it depends on how you look at it. Like, I would say as far as just starting a band, if like all you care about is making music and having a good time, like there's never been a better time to do that because access to resources like is easy. You can get so much stuff for free in terms of software. You can post your music on Bandcamp and other platforms like very, very easily. So I think the bar for access is super low, but I think the pitfall comes in when you're like really trying to grind and become successful. Yep. I think bands sometimes are still struggling to recognize that, like, just in our internet landscape now, music isn't enough. Like, you could have the best music in the world and it just doesn't fucking matter if you don't have any sort of presence. And I know plenty of bands bemoan that, I think, especially in the like underground black metal scene, which is funny because those guys will complain that like, oh, I don't really care about exposure, but then they'll also bitch and moan that nobody's listening to their music. So it's like you can't have it both ways. So I think nowadays you really, if you want to be successful, like if you really want your band to become something, it's almost more like you gotta have good music, but it's almost more important that you know how to market and run it like a business almost. Like you got to know how to get yourself out there on different platforms and create kind of almost a whole social experience at this point. And again, if you don't want to do that, you don't have to. But if you really want to look at bands that are doing well for themselves, there's a reason why like Lorna Shore is blowing up, and that's because Will Ramos is doing the rounds on like fucking everything related to YouTube and everything else. Like there's a reason there's a correlation there.
I agree on that. Ian, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, just to piggyback off of what Trench has said, I think you have to be honest with yourself about what your goals are as a band. And you need to really establish that early on to kind of dictate what your path is going to be. Like if you're going to be a ping heavy gore grind band and your goal is world domination, like bless you, but like I don't think that's going to go down. But if your goal as a gore grind band is to, you know, play a bunch of shows, release a split with like Last Days of Humanity and like play a set of, at like Obscene Extreme, like I think that's achievable.
Yeah.
So as long as you have your goals in order, I think you can kind of tailor the rest of what you need to do to kind of make those goals happen.
I agree with that. Aaliyah, this might be a little bit off topic, and I'm really hoping it's not going too far off your topic here. But one thing that Mr. Trench has said, this is your new name. One thing that Mr. Trench has mentioned was like black metal bands wanting to get in all these big publications and everybody knowing them while pretending like they don't.
You've had that happen, right, Curtis?
I've had this happen.
Yeah.
Now, because Ian is at a very, like a more mainstream publication, to say the least, probably one of the, they're more mainstream than metal focused, I would say. Would you agree, Ian?
Yeah, I would agree. The stuff that I get in there is laughable. So shout out to the Stereo Gum tag database that I've pillaged and made my own over the years. Yeah.
So because you're probably one of the guys that's probably got featured probably the most black metal bands in a mainstream publication. This is why I'm about to ask you this question. Why do you think it is that black metal
Guinness
bands...
Guinness World Record holder.
Probably. Between him and Pitchfork from back in the day. Like, I mean... Probably. But why do you think so many black metal bands do care about that exposure in the mainstream so much? Like, I've never understood it. Do you?
Well, I think black metal is in a different place than it used to be.
Fair.
Where I think...
Very true.
If we're talking about black metal in the second wave, I think that their motivations were far different than what black metal is now.
Yeah.
Fair.
Where I think black metal is a far more inclusive space, and it speaks to a diversity of experiences now that I don't think the genre has had previously. So you also have a strain of black metal that is also very pop minded. And also was raised on the last great boom of rock music, which would be nu metal. And stuff like Linkin Park. And so they're kind of using that as a template to further their ambitions as a genre.
Fair.
So I think that's probably why they would want to court more mainstream interest.
Fair. Okay. Just a curious thought I had.
Trenches, did you have some thoughts about that?
No, I would agree. And also, like, it makes me think of all the, like, quote-unquote black gaze bands. Like,
oh, yeah.
Just a completely different scene. Really, mm-hmm. and like you said, different motivations. Like, you know, what Def Heaven wants is not what Mayhem wants, you know. Like, it's very, very different,
but similar goals at the same time. I do want to point out
to an extent. That would be an interesting larger conversation, but I don't want to derail completely.
Me neither.
We'll have an episode about the future of black metal.
Yeah.
Do you want to bring us back on topic, Aaliyah, since I kind of derailed us earlier?
Sure. So for each of you, I'd like to know, like, and I'm sure our listeners would be curious, what makes an underground band stand out to you? How do you typically find out about these bands, and what makes you want to feature them? Trenches, you want to start this one?
Yeah, sure. I even did a like Instagram post on this, so I want to say like last year or something, because... I think there is kind of like a, for me anyways, there's a like pretty simple formula you can follow. First of all, I mean, you got to recognize when you're sending out emails, these people you're sending emails to may be getting fucking hundreds of emails. So you got to stand out. And the first thing they're going to see is your title of your email.
Subject line, right.
And so make sure your subject line pops in some way. I would even make it like your little like elevator pitch. Like, how can you describe your band in like 10 words or less in a way that's extremely intriguing? Because if it's just like, you know, black metal band from Montreal, I'm not even gonna like second glance that, versus if it's like, you know, hip hop influenced female fronted black metal group based around Blade Runner, then that's going to catch my interest. Like, I may or may not like the music, but it's at least going to, I mean, you got to kind of treat it the same way you do with like YouTube titles and thumbnails. You got to work for that click. Like, how do you just gain that cost of entry, basically? And so that's number one. And then number two, I would say keep it simple within the email. I like a like really basic one or two sentence explanation of kind of what the band's about, what you're looking for. Give me a link so I can really quickly check out your music. I see this a lot. I honestly hate just getting a download link, especially if it's like Dropbox or something, because I can't really like effectively sample that depending on what I'm looking in. And so I'm not going to go and download the music without knowing what it is. So give me a Bandcamp link preferably, but YouTube links are acceptable, just so I can get a basic idea of what I'm looking for, and then of what you're all about. And then give me the download link on top of that in case I decide to put it on my phone and then sample it from there. So that's my basic formula. And those are my favorite emails to get. When people kind of hit all those marks, I get super excited about bands.
So is it primarily then from emails that you discover underground bands, or do you have any other methods of finding music you may not have heard otherwise?
Oh yeah. Word of mouth is always powerful. Like, I just put up today my best deathcore bands of 2022 video, and there are quite a few on there that I like polled the audience. Either people had commented on prior videos and I saw enough of that commented that I was like, oh, I should probably check this out, because I have like 50 people who have at this point like told me to check this band out, or I'll do a direct poll and see what people recommend. Sometimes I'll also just like randomly explore Bandcamp, but the reality right now again is that I get so many emails that I just like, it leaves me no time for anything else. So those are kind of the main things. Emails number one, and then what are people commenting on other videos I'm putting up?
Right on. Now, Ian, same question. How do you find underground bands and filter them, so to speak?
The main hub where I find bands these days is going to be Bandcamp. I'm on Bandcamp pretty much all day. I follow a bunch of tastemakers on there who I call tastemakers. They're like the Bandcamp power users. Like, if you see somebody's,
for sure. Yeah.
If you see somebody's icon in like a bunch of like albums, like you kind of know that that's going to be like a mark of quality. Like, for people in the know, that TSV guy, like if that dude is in your Bandcamp buys, I'm like, okay, I got a pretty good idea. This is going to be a good one. So I follow a bunch of people like that. Nice. And that populates my feed all day. That's also where I find a bunch of like super weird stuff, is just from people just buying weird stuff on Bandcamp. Love it. Thank you so much for your service. I salute you. 1 out of 10 is a win, but hey, that's good enough for me.
How does one become a Bandcamp tastemaker?
Just buying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's like the Jim Cramer thing. Buy.
And do they typically like write their reviews, or not so much? It's just a buying.
Yeah, I think it's just the buy, because then it just pops up in your feed if you follow them. And I think that's okay. Extremely helpful, because it's like, it's a real world cosign. It's like, yes, this was good enough for me to spend my money on.
Nice.
So is that how you get like the zillion albums that you put in your newsletter, or what? Just by doing that? Yeah.
Yeah. It's cut between that and, you know, the various promos that I'm sent.
Cool. I have a question, Aaliyah, if I may, or did you want to do something first?
It's better to ask forgiveness than ask permission.
Then I will just go right ahead. So one thing that Mr. Trench has also mentioned before that I wanted to take up earlier was, he said that the bar was set pretty low, or he inferred that. I can't remember the exact wording that it was. So Ian, since you've been doing this since a long, long time, longer than any of us, I wanted to ask you, have you noticed that the quality level has slipped in terms of submissions that you're getting?
Quality, if the quality, no. Okay. I think the quality level is pretty much on par as far as the submissions that I've received.
Okay.
And I think that's mostly based off of the fact that music now is better than it's ever been.
Fair.
I would agree. Even though people want to bitch and moan that it's not.
Yeah. Like at the end of the day, music's the most important thing to me. So if the music's good, then like I'm on board. Yeah. As far as the email blasts that I get, it's kind of like give or take, because I know that there's some not reputable PR firms that rely solely on the email blast, and boy,
we all love the email blast,
don't we?
Yeah.
I will clarify too what I meant by the bar is low. I meant like the for access, like Fair. Being able to create and put up your music, not necessarily Fair. The quality.
That's why I wanted to check on that, because one thing I've noticed personally, and I'm going to ask you both this, we get. Maybe it's, I don't know what it is, but we'll get like usually at least once or twice a week, a band that's just fucking horrible that will think that they're good enough for PR. And then they'll go to the blast people later after we tell them no. But that's why I was curious about that. Mr. Trenches, I'll ask you this since I just finished asking Ian this question. So you don't see a higher amount of people that aren't ready yet submitting to your site then, I guess?
Honestly, no. I've been pleasantly surprised. And it, like, especially you'd think, honestly, I'm almost more impressed with the direct from band emails than some of the promo submissions. Like, I feel like I'm actually more likely to decline a lot of direct PR submissions.
Oh, you're killing me.
I mean, I would say like 90% of the direct from band requests I get are pretty solid, like at least like B- material at minimum. It's pretty rare that I get a band where I press play and I'm like, oh man, this is dog shit.
Really?
And it shows. Even like, that's why I love doing my best of Bandcamp segment, where I just like in real time kind of sample all the stuff I've gotten in one like hour go, because that is like real and it's mostly unedited. I can only think of maybe like one or two times where I literally like completely just deleted a band from a video because I didn't want to like take a shit on like a completely unknown band for no good reason. But most of it is what you see on those videos is legit. Like I hear it and I'm generally like really impressed with the stuff I find.
Are you finding that too, Ian, that the direct from band submissions are higher quality then?
Yeah, for the most part. I think the interesting thing I get from bands now is that they're usually a fan of the column, and that helps when a band knows your work.
Definitely.
As long as it's legit. When they say they're a fan and they don't fucking know shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, don't fake it. Yeah. That shit sucks. Yeah, like, and you can smell it a mile away, too. Yeah. Whereas if I've seen you in my comments, and there are certain bands that I see them because it's, like, their band name, and they're commenting randomly on videos and not trying to just, like, dick ride.
Yeah.
And then they come around, and I'm much more likely to respond immediately to those people because I know they're cool.
Yeah. Ian, were you going to say something else?
Oh, no. I was like, the advice that I usually give to bands that are wanting to establish review clips is to figure out what bands they sound like. Go to the sites that have reviewed those bands and write a tailored pitch to that site saying, hey, you covered this band. You might be interested in us. Here's our music. Give us a shot. I like what you're doing.
Fair enough. Okay. I got something for later, but Aaliyah, you can go next.
Well, I think this topic is, you know, we pretty much fleshed out the topics that we were on. So we can go into another topic if you have an idea, Curtis.
I actually do. Well, it's kind of on the same topic. It's kind of not on the same topic.
Let's go.
Well,
let's go.
It's the topic that the both of them just brought up is the fake sincerity and fake interest in the site. So, Ian, how can someone actually I don't know how can they prove authenticity, because like we just both all said, like,
or maybe it's... more the question is, what are the red flags that they're not being authentic?
That's probably better. Thank you.
If you bring up any of the insane topics that I've written about over the past 8 years, then I think we're good. But if you just say like, hey, I love the metal column that you do, it's so good. I love when you got Evanescence in there. No, no, my friend, no.
Can you please feature me at Metal Sucks?
Yeah.
Well, I think you brought up a really good point in something that does kind of, I mean, everybody likes their ego massaged a little bit. And so, yeah, if they're like, oh, dude, I love that video that you did on this. And it's, and they even give details on like what they liked about it. So it's clear that they actually watched it. Like that does like immediately kind of, you know, it softens me up a little bit. And I'm like, oh, okay. We can talk. I'm going to reply to you immediately instead of just like adding you to the list to come back to you later. I think in regards to like red flags, my least favorite thing, and it's not entirely people's fault because people have done this for so long, but I even have like most of my social media set to give you an auto message that if you send me a message there, it redirects you and says like, hey, send it to the email. But I'll still occasionally have people like find my personal Facebook, which is still more of a business Facebook, but it's not the Metal Trenches Facebook. It's like my like Flight of Icarus profile. They'll like find me there and then just start like blasting messages at me and being like, hey bro, what's up, like you want to check out my band? And I'm just like, fucking like read that. I have so many places posted where it's like, here's how you can submit music. And so to me that shows a little bit of lacking respect in terms of like not doing any sort of homework. I don't expect you to like research intensively, but like you could spend less than 5 minutes and figure out the proper protocol to do that.
And obviously I did not DM you to either one of you guys today. Not at all. Did not fucking happen. Right? Didn't happen.
We've reached that level. That's true.
Yeah. Ian, how do you feel about the hit up in your DMs for music review type thing?
It's an okay method provided that you've got a story to tell that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
The thing that I don't like is when people find out where I work and then immediately it's like they want something from me and the relationship just becomes transactional. I remember I was at a show before the pandemic and my buddy Mike was like, hey, this is my friend Ian. He writes for Stereo Gum. And then like, as soon as he said that, I had to like army roll out of the venue because it was like, I was just swamped with like so many people. I was like, no, get away. Just, like swatting demos away. Like, no, stop, get away. No, nice. Bad.
Oh, jeez.
Nice. Well, at least you get free shit.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Okay. So Aaliyah, you want to do the next part or you want me?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, cool. So, okay. So let's keep going here since Aaliyah has no objections here. So, how do I want to phrase this here? So what would you guys both say would be an immediate red flag in general for a band, that would make it so they're not getting covered, aside from racism, the obvious things like that. I'll start with you this time, Ian. What would be like the main red flags from a band that they're not going to make it?
Oh, that's interesting. Usually, I mean, the red flags are just stuff that we covered. It's like the racism, if there's like abuse allegations and stuff like that. So, I mean, if your music honks and I don't like it, it's usually going to be the big thing. Like everything I cover has like, it has to be honest. It has to be from the heart. And I think people can tell when you're writing on something and you don't actually like it. So I need to love it. That's usually the big thing for me. And like, it's a frustrating answer because obviously that's subjective and like bands don't know if I'm going to like something or not. Yeah. But like the other big tip that I give to bands is that, you know, for those of us that scroll through Bandcamp and Holix all day, like if your album art sucks, like I'm probably not going to click on your stuff.
That's a big one.
That's true. Yeah.
That's a big one. And band photos.
Yeah. And it, like if you have a super cringe band photo, like I'm probably not going to go there. Like it's like big Photoshop in the background, that kind of deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of a, that's kind of a tough hurdle.
Genre.
Well, there's two different. Yeah. So like
if it's like self-aware, Like,
yeah, you have to have some sort of like knowledge that like you're doing this and it's like playing on themes. Like there's that band Vortese from Chile, and the promo picture is just him surrounded by guitars and drums like he's in space. And he's just like manifesting these guitars out of his mind. And it's like, it's total cheeseball stuff, but it works for the music and it's so good.
Okay. So band photos, band. Okay. Album art. So just to clarify one point with you, Ian, so you got to love the band. What genres are you not going to touch? Because you're pretty varied. Like your column will have everything. It seems like that's even remotely metal at times. So what won't you take, I guess, is what I'm asking.
As a personal credo, my feelings about this is that I can not like a band because that is a totally subjective thing. And I feel like I have enough reps with certain styles to understand what makes a band good or bad in that style.
Fair.
As far as styles are concerned, I think it is my fault if I don't like a style wholesale, because obviously there's something that I haven't found that doesn't connect me to that style. So I think at a baseline, all styles have the ability to be like great. They all have like masterful stuff in it, right? And it's just, I haven't found it and it hasn't connected with me yet. I need to do more work to find that out.
Fair enough. What about you, Trenches?
Yeah, interesting. Multi-part questions. So I guess as far as genres go, I'm a big like explorer, I would say. Like I'm always trying to break myself out of the mold and kind of like figure things out in terms of stuff that I didn't think I liked and see if I can find something I do enjoy. I'm still much less likely to cover doom. I just find I like fast. So there are some exceptions, but there's a lot of doom that I just don't find intriguing. A lot of like modern.
I like doom.
Yeah. Plenty of people do. So I try to cover it ways I can. Also like modern bands that are just doing the classic heavy metal sound that just doesn't really appeal to me. Sometimes again, like if they do it really well, and this is a big, I think this bleeds over into the other question too. And kind of what you're saying, I have to love it. The biggest thing that honestly overall will make me less interested to cover you in any like really substantial way is if you're just like, if you just sound like everyone else.
Yeah.
Obviously there are exceptions to that. Like sometimes somebody just does the same thing everyone else does, but they do it so well that I'm down. But I think in most cases, what I'm really looking for is that band that's doing something fucking weird and interesting and different. And like, those are the bands, like I was just working on my best of the year list and all the albums on that list are in some way just like completely unique from anything else that came out this year and just really threw me a curveball. That's my favorite stuff to come across. And so, and that's the biggest piece of feedback I usually give on that Best of Bandcamp series in most cases is like, okay, you sound really good. Production's pretty solid. Songwriting's pretty consistent. And why should I care? Like, why should this listener listen to you instead of the Black Dahlia Murder or Cannibal Corpse or Mayhem or Burzum or whatever like genre you're in? Like, why should they listen to you instead of just listening to that again? Because you're kind of just repeating the same thing that I've already heard.
Nice point.
Yeah, I think that's plenty.
Cool. Aaliyah, I wanted to, unless you've got something else on this topic, I wanted to go into a controversial topic as our final thing.
Oh, I love controversy.
Go ahead. Let's do it.
I wanted to talk about the Lorna Shore controversy. might as well try to get the clicks.
Lorna Shore.
Well, they're either loved or hated, but they've literally sold out an entire tour. Granted, they were some smaller
props to them.
Places. Yeah, granted, there were some smaller places. I know why they did it.
I don't feel like Trench's video was hateful in any way.
I didn't see it, but I think it was you that told me about
People are definitely taking it that way. Multiple. To be fair, I kind of dunked on them in multiple videos at this point. So I can't clarify.
So you're bullying them now.
Here's the thing. I'm not bullying Lorna Shore. I gave the album an 8 out of 10. I think they're extremely talented. I think Will is a fantastic vocalist. I think they're all fantastic. My qualm is with the fans. I'm bullying the fans. Because my issue is that I am so happy for all the success that they're getting. And when I see a wave of people, one, all acting like music we've heard, like I just said, 10,000 times before from the genre, is like this new revelation and the greatest thing that's ever happened in music, it kind of irritates me. And it makes it sort of, I'll just be honest, it makes it kind of fun for me to take some jabs just to annoy them. And then two, when they can't handle that, because there are certain bands where I've done that and the fan base is like, dude, that cracked me up. Like, I love the band, but you're totally right. Like, that was cool. Lorna Shore fans, man, are not like, they get fucking pissed. Like, it's there's some fanaticism in that fan base. And I don't like that. And the funny thing is, when I pick up on that, I just dig in further. Like, I just double down at that point, because I just like, I don't like that attitude. And I find it funny to annoy them at that point. So I guess I'm a bully.
Ian, well, let's get Ian's take. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to hear Ian's thoughts first on just Lorna Shore in general.
Lorna Shore, I have no idea what you guys are talking about. This could be like a defenseman on the third line of the Quebec Nordiques in like the 1992 season.
I hope you're kidding.
I mean, I'm familiar with like the band, but definitely not something that I've listened to. So really? I'm kind of more in the like, you are in 10 collections in Bandcamp zone most of the day.
I am shocked, because they have been one of the most controversial bands of the last 6 months of being loved or hated. How did you avoid them? I don't understand it.
I mean, I get this all the time from like other StereoGum people, where it's just like, how do you not know what that is? And it's like, I'm just buried deep in the trash pit of like brutal death metal bands all day. So just... Yeah.
You're in your own world, and pretty much. Okay.
Yeah,
you got to check it out, okay? Because people are either loving or hating this band, and they just sold out an entire tour. Seriously,
and I guarantee, and it's going to drive me crazy to be honest, but I guarantee it, they're going to wind up on a ton of best of the year.
Oh, they will.
Oh, for sure, 100%.
100%.
I think it's one of the best of the year myself. 100%.
Oh, man, you drive, sorry, dude. Drive me I crazy. Love it. Like, I love again, it. If you, I want to be super clear. People who just like it, like, great. Like, I like it too. And like, if we're acting like it's like God's gift to music, I just can't agree. Like, I can't agree at all.
I'll go over my take on it with you, just because of this. I used to hate deathcore. Was never into deathcore. This band actually got me into deathcore.
That's just because you have never heard good deathcore before, Curtis.
Well, that's so what people keep telling me, but I hadn't heard any good deathcore up to that point.
So I think both of you are like nailing exactly the two sides of this that are interesting and that I like, though. Because on the one hand, I really love gateway bands, which we've talked about in previous.
This one
episodes.
Is a gateway band for sure.
Yeah, and I think anything that gets people into metal in general, I think this could be like what the self-titled Slipknot album was for me back in the day. Sure. In many ways.
Sure.
I think that's great. I think anything that can get people excited about deathcore too, when they're normally like, you know, the attitude of like deathcore sucks, everything, blah blah blah. That's great. And at the same time, what Aaliyah, you're saying is the other side of that coin that bothers me, because I'm like, bro, you need to listen to better deathcore. Like, there's so much good deathcore out there that's way better than this. So I guess that's the part of it that bothers me. So it's like good and bad at the same time. Yeah. I guess
it's that ugly stepchilding of deathcore combined. Like, oh, suddenly you found the one that's good enough. And it's like, there've been other bands that were really good and you just didn't know about them.
Yeah.
But
I have tried deathcore in the past. I was not into it. This is the band that did it for me. So you guys should be proud
of me. I'm happy for you.
So I feel it's only fair, since we're talking about underground too, it's only fair then that I recommend you some other bands and albums from this year from deathcore.
I may have heard them by now because of the fact I've now been checking.
Yeah. That other people have said too, they're like, oh man, you had me check this out and you're totally right. Like, this is amazing. So if you liked that Lorna Shore album,
I did.
The new Grey Lotus album, Dawn Walker, I want to say.
I've heard that one.
Also, shout out to, speaking of what we were talking about earlier, the bass player commented on the video and was like, dude, thank you like for shouting us out. That means a lot too. Now, let me finish my thought and then I'll derail into that, because that brought up a point from earlier. And also the new Bone Carver album.
Heard that was good.
Really good. I think it does everything that Lorna Shore album does better, personally. But that brought me back to another point from what we were talking about earlier. another great way to get your foot in the door. If somebody does cover you, please say thank you. Like, I don't need you to, like, I don't know how graphic I want to get on here. I don't need you to, you know, get crazy and worship me or anything, but say thank you and share it. Share it on your social stuff. Like, 100%. If a band was like super complimentary and then blasted us the video all over socials, I am 10,000% more likely to cover you again in the future without even thinking about it. Versus the bands that I put it out there and then radio silence, no response, yeah. Don't share it anywhere.
Yeah.
That's kind of like, fuck you, dude. Like, yeah. Like that's really kind of bad. It's just a bad way to do things. That seems very selfish to me.
I agree. Ian, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. My other big tip is make friends with other bands. Good like one. No one understands the plight of a band like another band. And you know, if you get enough of a collective work and all of you can work together, you can tour, you can release records together. Like, yeah, it's a great way to do it yourself.
Cool. Leah, I think we're almost out of time. Do we have anything else we want to cover with these two?
I think it'd be nice to wrap up with a marketing question. And just because Trench has mentioned it earlier as being one of the one major downfalls of bands that are just starting up. So if both of you could say what you think is just an important marketing tip that comes to mind that you would advise younger bands or newer bands to take part in or to think about.
You got to start with someone.
Ian first.
So something else in other than what we've talked about, like a, mm-hmm. like a, okay.
Well, you mentioned goal setting.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, so maybe one, what are some of the goals that you think they should have?
Yeah. I think it's just being honest with yourself and just what you want to get out of this. You know, if you're a weekend warrior, that's one thing. If you want to shoot for the stars, that's another thing, but you really got to be honest with yourself as soon as you start, because that's going to drive everything else. Like you can make your path in this industry depending on how hard you want to grind, and the grind is going to decide where eventually you end up.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like, in a band that has like a bunch of 35-year-olds who have full-time jobs, is it going to have the same goals as a band of 20-year-olds that still have that are still on their parents' health insurance? So definitely an important thing to think about. Trenches, what's your take on this topic?
I would say pick a platform that you're in some way passionate about. I'd be most likely to recommend either YouTube or TikTok, because those are the ones that have like a growth algorithm, like that's built into it. And so you can use that to your benefit. So pick one and then learn how to really use that platform effectively and professionally. Like, learn how to title, catch attention, use thumbnails, whatever. Like, you know, learn as much as you can. And there's plenty of like video series you can watch for free to like pick up. That's how I did it. That's how I've been able to grow my channel out. So pick one of those and choose how you want to use it too, because it could just be you're posting little shorts from the studio. It could be that you're doing a podcast. It could be that you're doing your own video content. It could be short music videos, what have you. Like, just pick a lane and stick to that and get as good at that as you possibly can. And I think that'll take you a long way to getting to more people.
Right on. Well, thank you, Ian, and thank you, Metal Trenches, for coming on and talking about these topics with us. This was a great conversation. And yeah, everyone listening? Everyone listening, until next time, make like a bull and throw those horns up.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by leaving us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. You can also join the conversation by following us on any social media and suggesting guests or topics you'd like to learn more about. Thanks for listening to C Squared.